that here in just a little bit. We'll review a terrific weekend as far as the world of sports is concerned. Also coming up on the program, your chance to win from the City of Cedar Rapids Golf Department. We've got that today. We've got that all this week right here on the Gym Classes. Stay tuned. We'll get into it right here on KGYN. Where was the sun this weekend? Although the clouds have overtaken things right now. Welcome in, Gym Class coming your way. 3:04. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And you out there as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here at 1600 AM, the historic main gym. The North Gym, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Thank you very much for joining us here today. Your local programming block getting underway takes you through 7 o'clock tonight. And then we will hand it off to NBA basketball. Can Golden State remain unbeaten in the postseason? They will look for the sweep tonight as they take on San Antonio. That will be from Texas. We'll have it for you tonight at 7 o'clock on 1600 AM and the South Gym, 106.3 FM. Minnesota Twins baseball on 107.5 FM, as it will be the Twins taking on the Baltimore Orioles tonight at Camden Yards. We'll join things at 7 o'clock tonight, and that'll be on 107.5 FM. Big series right there for the Twins as they go out east to take on the Baltimore Orioles. We have from the City of Cedar Rapids Golf Department this week, chance for you to win a great prize pack, and we're going to be giving it away today all through the week as well. Two 18-hole rounds of golf and two sleeves of golf balls, courtesy of the City of Cedar Rapids Golf Department, and we'll give you a chance to win that. And unfortunately, Mark, we were not able to take part in of our favorite sports this weekend. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah, now the sun comes out, but it wasn't a great week in Des Moines for the state track meet, but congratulations to all those individuals and teams that won state championships or placed high. You certainly earned it over the weekend. Today's good weather will benefit tennis and golf teams, which are in the postseason today all across the area.
Absolutely. And better weather for that. We have golf going on today. We got tennis going on, setting the scene for state lineups. And you mentioned the state track meet over the weekend. Not the greatest weather to run in, certainly, but still some great, great stories. Of course, in our neck of the woods, a great battle in 3A boys. Congratulations to Chad Zrudski and the Marion Indians as they just edge out Mount Vernon for the 3A boys championship. First ever state track championship for the Marion boys. So congratulations to the Indians. And had a terrific year for athletics over at Marion High School, certainly.
Yeah, on both boys and girls sides, that's for sure. As you mentioned, it was a very newsy weekend across the board. That's a subject of our poll question today. KGYMradio.com. What was the most interesting sports story from last weekend? Would it be the Celtics beating the Cavs without Isaiah Thomas? 13-1 cloud computing's win at Pimlico, parentheses, Scott Unash's pick.
Yes, it was.
Thirdly, Cubs rain gate. Fourth, Jinder Mahal wins the WWE title.
I have no idea.
Or Scott Dixon winning the poll for the Indianapolis 500, proceeding to get robbed afterwards. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Yeah, Scott Dixon, second fastest qualifying effort ever. And we are going to talk with the voice of the 500, Mark Janes, coming up on Wednesday. And over 232, around 232 and a half miles per hour. The record is 237. R.A. Allendyke had that in the mid-90s, different engine configuration. That's probably never going to be achieved again and probably shouldn't be achieved again, especially after you watch Saturday and watch what happened to Sebastian Bourdais. But and then he had all these media things to take care of throughout the night after winning the pole, Got done with that at 9 o'clock last night. They realized they hadn't ate. So it was most of a lot of guys from Chip Ganassi Racing, Scott Dixon, his wife Emma, Dario Franchitti, three-time winner. Dixon's won it once. So they get in their car and they go to Taco Bell at 10 o'clock at night because that's the only thing open. And as you said, Mark,
probably not your typical late model car either.
Well, it was, I guarantee you it was a Honda because obviously driving for Honda engines, guarantee you it was a Honda. But anyway, and yeah, they were held up at gunpoint. Everything's okay. They caught the two assailants and they are fine. I don't know if they got their order placed or anything like that, but they probably got some food at some point. But yeah.
The subjects, 14 and 15 years old, respectively.
Right.
And my comment to you was, why Ganassi cater the damn thing? You know, rather than have these guys go out into what you told me was a suspect neighborhood.
Well,
you've been there.
At 10 o'clock at night. If you go just, nothing wrong with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway neighborhood. There is one little older neighborhood to the east, and that's where that particular restaurant is at. And it might have just been one of those deals. It's not a very... There are a lot worse places on God's green earth. Let's just put it that way. But I agree with you. You know,
it's no laughing matter.
No, it's
you know,
not.
That you get held up at gunpoint. I've never had that happen to me and hopefully never will. But that can't be a pleasant situation.
No, it's not. But everything came out okay. And he got the pole and should be a heck of a race. You can hear it coming up on
Sunday. Not sure he got his food, but he got the pole.
Yeah, I don't know about the food, but he got the pole. And that is probably the better of the two, certainly. And we'll have the race Sunday morning for you at 10 o'clock right here on all three of our frequencies, 1600 AM, 107.5, and 106.3 FM.
I got to look into this Jinder Mahal character. I had no idea. Maybe it was the highlight of the weekend. Maybe it was that was the most interesting story. I don't know anything about the guy.
I don't either. You had to go get a pronunciation. That's how little we know about it.
I did. The Dixon story is really good. I think the Preakness was a really good race. Cloud Computing coming from, started out 20-1, ended up 13-1 going off, 10-horse race, and the Derby winner just didn't have much. And Cloud Computing hadn't raced in the Derby, so I think that benefited that horse quite a bit.
And when we talked to Barry Abrams on Friday, he wasn't very optimistic that we were going to have a Triple Crown winner this year. And we will not have a Triple Crown winner this year, which makes the Belmont a little bit of an afterthought, if you will. But anyway, Cloud Computing was terrific at Pimlico on Saturday. Again, what could have been, and it's a very mixed bag in the world of racing here. Sebastian Bourdais had a horrible accident on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Just, if you've seen it, and I'm sure you have on social media, if you're not even a race fan out there, basically hitting a wall at head-on almost at over 220 miles per hour coming out of turn two. And that, when he hit it, I thought back to crashes in the 80s. That took the lives of people in that same angle. And I'm going, oh, no, please, please. And then they do a close-up of it afterwards. And he was moving, and okay, great. That just tells you how much safer racing has gotten over the last three, four decades anyway. And thank goodness, because that was a nasty, nasty crash. Mm-hmm. Not as good news, Nikki Hayden, the terrific American motorcyclist who was involved in an accident while he was riding a bike in Italy, did succumb to his injuries today, so he passes away today at the age of 35. Jeremiah Davis just tweeting this out just moments ago, locally here, Dale DeFrance, the father of Daryl DeFrance out of Marshalltown, a longtime late model driver, and the grandpa to the Gustin kids, also has passed away today. Mm. So our thoughts go out to that family as far as racing in Eastern Iowa is concerned. So mixed bag, I guess, if you will, today. Also from the new from the world of boys basketball, Iowa City Regina has their brand new boys coach to replace Stu Ordman, who went to Iowa City Liberty, and that is going to be Jared Galpin, He has been promoted. He's been the assistant to both Randy Larson over the years and to Stu Wardman. So he is going to be the new head boys basketball coach for the Regals at Regina now.
As far as the third choice in this poll, the Cubs Raingate. Perhaps you heard that the Brewers and the Cubs were scheduled to play a game on Saturday. And the Cubs decided to postpone it, despite the fact it rained about 3 drops after noon. And this has caused the Milwaukee Brewers brass to complain to the Cubs. The Brewers said they had a Doppler radar that showed pretty much what did happen Saturday afternoon. The Cubs, actually General Manager Jed Hoyer has admitted, they got the forecast wrong. So this has been postponed to July 6th. It will be in Wrigley Field. The Cubs will not lose a home gate. As some of my Cub fans kind of pointed out, why would they do this when they would lose a home gate? Well, they're not going to lose a home gate. No, if this was the Padres and the Reds, nobody would care. But let's face it, the Cubs are Eastern Iowa's team, according to some polls. They are America's team, according to a lot of polls. This is the Cubs. It's not the Padres. And therefore, it ratchets the story up just a bit more. Now, did it have anything to do with the Cubs having to use relievers for 6 innings Friday night in a loss? Oh, I doubt it.
It was a natural disaster, as they say in the film Boulder.
Here's what's really weird about this. According to Major League Baseball, any game before the All-Star break, it's the home team's decision whether to call the game off or not. After the All-Star break, it's the umpire's decision.
That makes no sense to me.
Now, what sense does that make? First of all, there's probably more rainouts before the All-Star break than after. Why not be consistent about it? Let the umpires make the decision. I don't understand that part of things at all.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. I did not know that, and thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Well, the good news is the Brizzle bobbleheads will be given away on July 6th, I think.
Thankfully.
So that's the main thing. But
a family here in our building will not be able to get one.
No, and that's the thing. Well, we talked to said individual, and I think the Cubs' policy is that you can exchange tickets when that game is played, that when that game is made up, or perhaps you can exchange tickets for any other game during the season if that's possible. A lot of teams do that. I don't know the Cubs' specific policy. But what if you can't get to Wrigley Field the rest of the year? You're stuck walking around Michigan Avenue in the sunshine on a day that the Cubs should have played. And said family was not happy about that, and I'm sure it wasn't the only family.
What do you think out there? 319-366-1600. Should they have played? Here is my take on just that in a nutshell. And I deal with it as far as high school athletics are concerned. I mean, obviously that is not at the level of Major League Baseball or whatever the case may be. But you've gotten to the point now where weather technology is so good and can pinpoint things down to the exact minute that something is going to happen.
Apparently not in the Cubs weather lab.
Most often. We have had games that have been postponed 2 days in advance because there's going to be an impending weather story coming in, either winter weather. A lot of times it's winter weather. How many times have we had Tuesday or Friday night games postponed on Sunday or whatever because they're predicting Stormageddon coming in and then it doesn't happen? Same thing as far as it's kind of going into the summer sports as well. My philosophy and my policy has always been wait till it actually gets there. I wish everyone would do that. Yeah, you could be on your way somewhere. I understand that. But at least you got a sporting chance of trying to get it in. I wish I wish it was more, to not sound so fuddy-duddy, I wish it was more like the old days with that. Because they have been wrong more often than not.
As it is now, that week in July, the Cubs are home all week. They were supposed to have that Thursday off. And actually, some of the players are not very happy that that game is going to be played on a scheduled day off.
Probably because they had a lot of things planned on around the 4th of July time. So,
and the Milwaukee Brewers, after being at home against Baltimore the 3rd, 4th, and 5th, then have to go to Chicago for that single game, and then they go off to New York for a three-game series on the weekend. Rather than, I don't know, could they play a doubleheader yesterday?
Could it? Twins did.
Twins had two doubleheaders last week relating to rainouts. They had to make up a game against Colorado earlier in the week.
But they had to do it there because that's the only time they play Colorado.
Right. They had to do it against Kansas City. Probably didn't have to do it yesterday. Rained out Saturday, doubleheader Sunday. But, Twins had to make up two doubleheaders in a week.
Yeah, what do you think? 319-366-1600. As far as that is concerned, I think that did they take into consideration what their pitching was like? Absolutely. But if you have, to play devil's advocate, if you have the opportunity when it is raining like that and you know you don't have much pitching, you're going to take advantage of that rule. And now knowing that rule, they took advantage of that rule. I can see why they did that. Now, they didn't have the best interest in the fans on their mind when they did that. And there are a lot of sore people out there, I'm sure. We know a few of the sore people out there that they didn't play on Saturday when it was the sunshine and whatnot in the afternoon. Probably would have been a delay, maybe an hour or so, but certainly could have got it in. But if they've got the chance to do it and it's going to help the ball club, I can see them helping the ball club.
6598 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. That's 319-366-1600. Today I learned who calls the game before and after the All-Star game.
See, I did that too. I did not know that.
That's got to be changed too, doesn't it? 6429, Jinder Mahal is of Indian descent. He had been booked to always lose. The controversy has come due to the sudden shift in how Jinder has been portrayed. The belief is that WWE wanted to have an Indian champion, as they are beginning a big push to do business in India.
What? Collusion?
Not in WWE.
I think I know if this poll was tomorrow, I think you could also add your Dancing with the Stars version of this as well.
This is a miserable night. This is the last three in Dancing with the Stars is on, followed by the debut of Bachelorette.
Oh, you're. I will not be bothering you tonight, Mark. Do you have to watch The Bachelorette too?
That's a whole different segment.
319-366-1600. We're going to be talking to Michael Oss coming up here in a little bit. He will talk about a bevy of subjects. He was down with the Iowa baseball team today as they had their media opportunity. Iowa will play Maryland in their first game at the Big Ten tournament coming up in Bloomington. The Hawkeyes get in again for the Big Ten tournament for the fourth consecutive year. Congratulations to them. And it is a double elimination tournament. And I think Iowa's got as good a chance as anybody to come away with a bid to the NCAA tournament, to the regionals anyway. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. They're going to be talking with Iowa's number one, the guy that'll probably throw that first game, and that's Nick Gallagher. And they're going to talk with him coming up between 4 and 7 today.
Well, he's had a brilliant year, and Iowa stands a very good chance. Excuse me, with him on the hill, the opposite side of the bracket, number one Nebraska is sitting out there, but 1 through 5 or 6 in the Big Ten was very, very close this year, so I don't know that there's a clear-cut favorite. Some folks say Michigan is the team to watch, but we know what Iowa did last year, reaching the championship game. Whether it has the pitching depth to get there, we shall see, but have been involved in close games, and Prevailed recently, got some momentum going on, and won 2 out of 3 at Illinois, and ended up tied for 4th in the Big Ten and lost the tiebreaker to Maryland, so not a huge deal because those teams are 4 and 5, but look for a good run for the Hawkeyes, I think.
Yep, that'll be starting up midweek over in Bloomington, Indiana. We'll talk a little bit more with Cal Eldren about that coming up tomorrow here on the program. 23 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the Gym Class Monday edition here on KGYM. Some more texts flying in.
Indeed. 91-52. I spent over $700 in tickets and hotel. Not happy that game was canceled. Spent the rest of the day racking up a $100 bar tab and an outdoor patio.
So it cost $800.
87-21. That's almost as bad as traveling to a program and your favorite team decides to sit the rest of the starters. I feel sorry for ticket fans.
$800. Didn't get to see the game.
Well, $700 for tickets and hotel on the bar tab. I'm sure it could have been a whole lot more if we'd have tried, but...
That, hey, I will say this, $100 on a bar tab in Chicago doesn't take a whole lot of time to get taken care of here. By the way, the key word in there was outdoor.
Yeah, it's redundant, isn't it?
No, it could have been indoors, but it was outdoor, right?
Yeah, that's true. Wasn't it raining? Guess not.
We're going to talk to Mike Halas coming up here in just a little bit. 25 past the hour of 3 o'clock. We've got that golf package from the City of Cedar Rapids Golf Department we're going to be giving away. Also, a reminder, sometime between 7 o'clock on our show and the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, we have your chance to win $100 a day in the month of May. Just listen for the Mike and Mike phrase of the day. And we are doing this with the help of our good friends down at Toyota of Iowa City. And we're going to be doing that each weekday in the month of May, with the exception of next Monday, which is Memorial Day. So keep that in mind. We wish everybody out there a happy Memorial Day weekend, as that will be coming up. Have a very fun one, yet a very safe one for you out there. We'll take a break, come back, and when we return, we're going to talk to Mike Halas from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, sports columnist. Go back to the trial that will not take place coming up in June. We'll talk about his column about that. He was down in Iowa City today, and a whole lot more. We'll do that when we return after this here at KGYM.
The 4,000 ASE-certified technicians at Firestone Complete Auto Care will tell you, 0 to 60 may throw your hair back, but 60 to 0... will save your life. Right now at Firestone Complete Auto Care, get $60 off instantly per axle on a standard or lifetime brake service. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid May 1st through May 31st. Most vehicles per axle. $60 instant per axle discount reflected in point of sale. Not to be combined with any other offer on same product. No cash value. Offer void or prohibited. See store or driveafirestone.com for full details.
ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
The ball explodes off your club face like a rocket. It flies across the beautiful blue sky and nestles right next to the pin. That's what keeps us all coming back. Hey folks, Dave Austed here. Hardly any of us are going to make the pro tour, but we always have that itch to play because of that one shot. At Austed's Golf, we love the game as much as you do. Golf Digest just selected Austed's Golf one of the top fitters in the nation. Find out why. Go online at austeds.com or visit your local Austed's to schedule your personal club fitting. Your one shot is waiting. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, the Gym Class on KGYM.
Welcome back at 3:27. It is the Gym Class here on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, thank you very much for joining us. And again, we will give away that golf package from the City of Cedar Rapids Golf Department. We'll do that coming up here before 4 o'clock today. Coming up tonight, NBA basketball. Can Golden State slam the door on the San Antonio Spurs? We'll find out at 7 o'clock tonight. Also, we'll join up with Minnesota Twins baseball. Twins and the Baltimore Orioles tonight. That'll be at Camden Yards. That will be on 107.5 FM KGYM, the North Gym. Mike Kolas joining us right now, the sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joins us every other Monday during the spring and summer here. I think we can say summer now, or although this past weekend was not summer-like. But Mike, of course, you can follow him on Twitter, at Halas, H-L-A-S, on Twitter. And, Mike, good afternoon. How are you doing? Well, let's do this first. Let's bring him on before we say hi to him. Mike, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Aside from a really horribly bad weather weekend, I'm doing okay.
Well, things will get better.
Did you have any idea who Jinder Mahal was before today?
Who?
I believe that answers your question, Mark. We didn't know who he was either, but apparently he's now the new WWE champion as of last night. So,
who did he beat?
I have no idea. Dusty Rhodes.
We don't know.
It's not
how
Dusty
great
Rhodes.
History it was, do we?
No, not as good as Cloud Computing's on. I think on Saturday.
Hey, I had that horse.
I did too.
Did you really?
I did.
Wow. 14-1 when I got him.
Well, I had a hunch. It doesn't happen very often. I got a horse ride and Billy Horschel ride this weekend. I should just quit.
That Preakness, I like that a lot better.
Mike, I want to ask you about a recent column, and it was about a high school girls' soccer team, something that most columnists wouldn't go down that road, but I found it to be an extremely interesting story. It's a team, as you can expound on, that never scores and never wins. Why'd you do the story? Why'd you do the column?
I'm not sure. I'm not trying to be flippant. I just last week was, it's kind of a slower time of year around here. We're in the sports dodge. You know, college sports have tapered off. And so it's like, well, what's going on locally? Is there just a game somewhere I can go to and dig something up? And I looked in the standings and saw that Waterloo East was playing soccer at Xavier, girls soccer, and that Waterloo East was 0 and whatever. And then I started digging and I found that they hadn't won a game the year before that or the year before that or the year before that. And they hadn't scored a goal in 3 or 4 years. And like, how could this be? So I just decided to go out and watch, and I wrote about it.
I found it remarkable that, maybe not remarkable, but interesting that the head coach who played in North Carolina was on national championship teams. What a dichotomy that is.
Yeah, I had no idea, and to me it makes her remarkable for the patience and tolerance and compassion she has for, you know, a dozen or so girls from Waterloo East who really, to be blunt, don't know how to play the game.
Well,
and she, excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike, but I was going to say, I think that was the gist of the article, that everyone else has players that have played since they were the age of 5 and 6 and been on club teams that have traveled the country for the most part. And Waterloo East has these gals that barely have played the game. They don't know the game even.
Mm-hmm. And I'm no authority whatsoever on the school, but I'm told that it's the same way in certain other sports, like, say, tennis. It's basically the same story, but yet, I just thought it was kind of noble that you're going out game after game, you're outclassed. I mean, it's not even a contest, it's not a competition, and yet you still go out there, and you keep coming back, and I like that. There's nobody that's ever going to write a book about you, or there will never be any plaques. You know, in the school, remembering you, you just did it. And you stuck it out. And I thought that was pretty nice.
You also wrote about 1978 Heisman Trophy winner Billy Sims, who has a new restaurant in town here. And not only having read your story, talking to people who have been at the restaurant, were there this weekend. I ran, you know, a guy at the meat department the other day when I was grocery shopping. We had gone out there on the weekend. Said the guy couldn't have been nicer. Didn't charge for autographs. You got a camera on you. Let's take a picture type thing. Is that the way you found him, Mike?
Yeah, that's completely right. What struck me was his name is on the restaurant, and he's obviously there to, you know, do as much PR as he can in a short period of time. But this guy was going from table to table, putting his arm around people's shoulders, telling stories. Where are you from? That's all very nice. But what kind of got to me was how this guy hasn't carried a football since 1984. You know, we're talking 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's something about certain athletes that people never forget, and younger people who never even saw him play are still kind of drawn to him. Part of that is you win a Heisman Trophy, and that puts you in that select club where if somebody simply says Heisman Trophy, it's like you're a deity in sports. And I get that, but I think the name Billy Sims is, the guy was one of the greatest college football running backs that ever was, and there are people from Oklahoma, and they've had so many who will tell you, for all the good ones they've had, he was the best.
Mm.
And then there's, I think he comes from a time, too, when maybe college football players were just a little more mythical than they are now, because you see every game now, and you see the bad with the good. And even the best teams, when Billy Sims played, weren't on TV every week, and you saw him in glimpses here or there, and I think it kind of made him bigger than life.
Well, even Oklahoma games weren't all on TV. I mean, they had three or four a year, perhaps.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I think that I agree with you. I think that helps to cement the legacy of those guys.
Yeah, and there have been a couple Oklahoma Heisman Trophy winners since then, and when you ask me who they were, I had to stop and think some more. But if you ask me who was Billy Sims, I have a pretty clear image in my mind of who he was.
Yeah, part of my comment and question was he wasn't charging anybody. If that had been Pete Rose's barbecue place, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, well, it was interesting also that the small world we're in. So many people, I'm not going to say the majority, but the hour or so I was there, a lot of people came wearing Oklahoma garb.
Mm-hmm.
And, we sometimes think that we're just in this bubble here where everybody's for the Hawkeyes or the Cyclones or the Panthers. But, people from here bounce around all over the country, and other people move here. And they have different life experiences that draw on and different heroes from their past. And there are plenty of people here who clearly connected to somebody from Oklahoma.
And, of course, talking about connecting, maybe one of the more iconic photos from Iowa football over the years was Billy Sims trying to be tackled by Bob Stoops at a course.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Well, he was in the air, sort of hovering, trying to figure out.
Yeah, Stoops was there in this photo. Stoops was airborne, and he got blocked off his feet while Sims has the ball, and he's darting to his left. But an addendum to that is Iowa did a great job that day on defense.
Yeah.
It was the second game Hayden Fry ever coached at Iowa. They'd lost the first one at Indiana. They blew a big lead and lost the game. And from there they go to Oklahoma, which was, no different than now. Oklahoma was one of the kingpins of college football. And Billy Sims had won the Heisman Trophy the year before. So I think that people were expecting that Billy Sims would run for name your number against the Hawkeyes, and it would be ugly. Well, Oklahoma led 7-6 going into the fourth quarter, and Sims didn't get past 100 yards until, I think, midway or late in the fourth quarter, and they knew they were in a game.
I think it was a game two, Mike. Correct me if I'm wrong, that it was the second straight game of that season, and Iowa played maybe Nebraska and Oklahoma tough, and people were slapping the backs of players, and what a great job. And Hayden Fry, kind of setting the tone for the rest of his career, said, we're not having any of this. We don't come to play close.
Yeah, it was actually at Oklahoma. David Israel was then writing for the Chicago Tribune, and those were the days when newspapers would send people all over the place. And so for some reason, they sent him to Norman to write about an Iowa-Oklahoma game. And what he ended up writing about was after the game, Fry said, somebody told Fry, good effort, a good game or something. And Fry said, if anybody tells me that, I'm going to pop them in the mouth or something like that.
And meant it, probably. It meant it.
And it was a little bit controversial at the time because, you know, coaches just didn't say things like that publicly. They probably said it privately a million times. But secondly, it was Fry's way of saying the days of just saying good try are over. The turnaround didn't happen immediately with him. They went 5-6 that first year, and I think 4-7 the second year. But it was all part of his psychology of changing the attitude that, that good try is not going to cut it here.
Mm-hmm.
Very true. Michael Oss joining us here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class at 3:39 here on KGYM. Let's go back to last week with the news coming out that the University of Iowa settled with both Jane Meyer and Tracy Griesbaum, $6.5 million. And we had a very lively discussion here, as well as on Todd's show, on Friday after that came out at about 2:30 anyway. And I think now we take a look at it, and the next big question is this, is Gary Barta going to be the athletic director of the University of Iowa by the time the football season rolls around? I guess, in my opinion anyway, that's the next big question and the big timeline piece as far as this goes.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what the president, Bruce Harreld's thinking about it. He has withheld public comment. There are a couple investigations that are either underway or about to be underway about employment, just employment practices in general. The phase one is going to start with the athletics department. It's an external review. Who knows how long those things take or how, what, you know, if the die is cast now or if it's just a PR move. I don't know. I think Harreld is going to do whatever he wants, whether Barta stays or goes. I don't know. I don't know how much it. I don't know how much this is weighing on Bruce Harreld's mind, if at all. He, you know, like I said, he hasn't said anything. But they've just suffered a big loss, a big, big loss, not just financially, but in public relations. Whether you think they got jobbed or not, it doesn't matter because, you know, scoreboard. So they've got a lot of things to, you know, a lot of things to address down there, and it's an uncomfortable situation.
Might throw out a plug that your colleague Aaron Jordan sat down with Griesbaum and Meyer today, and we'll have some words on. Online right now, but we'll have more in the Gazette tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. And she's done a nice job throughout the trials and all that. And I get lost in the legalese of it all. I'll tell you, in this particular case, Jane Meyer showed why she got where she did get in athletics because of meticulous documenting of things. And that seemed to be a problem with the other side.
No, I would agree. I would agree very much so. And no matter how you slice it, we went over the money on Friday. $44 million comes into each Big Ten institution. So, you know, 6.5 isn't going to make or break things. But
Scott, they spend it all.
Exactly. I was just going to say, a cut here, a cut there. you know, I don't know. I don't think they go after one sport and take it all out of that budget. But you know, things are going to be taken out of each of the sports, certainly down in Iowa City from this.
Well, yeah, that will be interesting to see if they ever, you know, admit just from where this money's going to come. They've said that all $6.5 million will come through the athletic department itself, so somebody's got to pay for it. I added up the money that the football coaches make down there, and it's over $6.5 million a year, so it's not like that number is, you know, daunting. They deal with tens of millions of dollars every year, but that's a lot of money. I don't care. It's a lot of money when it's coming out of your pocket.
You had the winning horse. Did you have the Celtics as well?
No. No. The wild horses couldn't have gotten me to bet on the Celtics last night.
No.
Is this... It's a foregone conclusion. It's going to be Cleveland against Golden State. And
that's a foregone conclusion in October.
Exactly. And we've played all these games, and it has not been a great postseason. There have not been a lot of close games. A few. I'm not going to say they've all been blown out, blowouts, but last night's was a decent game. It was at least the end of it anyway, after the big lead evaporated.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the kind of thing that you like to see in sports. A team that's supposed to have zero chance, its best player didn't play. It had gotten, you know, used as a footlight for two games in Boston. It comes into Cleveland, and you're thinking, this is just, you know, the Christians against the Lions. They fall behind by whatever it was, 20, 22 points, something like that. And they come back and win. Somebody said it was the biggest upset in the entire NBA season. I mean, they were 17-point underdogs, which is absolutely absurd. In an NBA playoff game of any kind, it doesn't matter who's playing who, they win the game. So they're not going to win another one, but what they did is, when everybody would have said, this, you know, you're dead, they weren't. And that's kind of cool.
I agree.
Iowa baseball going to enter the Big Ten tournament against Maryland on Wednesday. I know you were down there today, Mike, talking to some of the players. What'd you learn?
How did you know that?
I saw a picture, man.
Oh, jeez. There's no secrets anymore in this world.
None whatsoever.
Especially in 2017.
Yeah, you're right. Jake Adams, the first baseman, such a good story. And so I wanted to write something about him before the Big Ten tournament. Just he had a phenomenal week last week. He's had a phenomenal season.
Even North Dakota, is that right?
He is from
South Dakota,
okay. The same town as Matt Vandenberg. But he was committed to play baseball at North Dakota, and last spring they dropped their program. So he became a free agent, a man without a scholarship, and Iowa scooped him up late. And here he is with 24 home runs.
Which is among the best in the country. I mean, that's the other part of this story.
Yeah, it's one off the national lead, and it is the Iowa record.
Yeah, which makes...
Today they named him Big Ten Player of the Week for the second week in a row.
And I think third time overall, but I have to double check on that. And
now let me ask you this. 4 years ago, how many home runs did Iowa hit the entire season over 49 games?
I'm going to guess less than that.
Yeah. Two.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, they hit two home runs in 49 games.
Wow.
Yeah. This year they've hit, I think, 56. So something's going right.
That's true. And good things have picked, and not to pick on Jack or anything like that, just a different philosophy as far as the world of baseball is concerned than what Rick has. So,
yeah, now what Iowa's got to do is go to Indiana for this Big Ten tournament and play great, because they might have to win the tournament to get in the NCAAs. Their RPI is not good, and so they're going to have to go there and just tear it up. But even if they don't, they've had a good season.
Before we let you go here, this kind of coming out today from Ames. The Iowa State men's basketball team, they had another player leave, and that is McNeil, who left the program. And I tell you what, you better get the welcome I am, insert your name here, stickers ready to go for practice next year. This is a complete turnover almost for this Iowa State men's basketball team.
Yeah, they had a large group on the floor at senior night. And then there have been, you know, pretty much your standard operating procedure, revolving door stuff on the periphery. So I think I'm going to have to wait until October and see who shows up, I guess. But I don't think they're done bringing in maybe another graduate transfer. I'm not sure if I heard that right or not recently, but I don't know. You know, it's May, and they're going to be in Cedar Rapids tomorrow at the Marriott with their tailgate tour, so maybe I can get a crash course on what exactly they are going to have.
I always wondered, Mike, how that graduate transfer, how do you find out? Is there a clearinghouse? Do you designate somebody on your staff to keep track of every program in the country? And
I don't know.
How does that work?
It's like any other business. I think that word spreads pretty quickly. Everybody knows everybody else.
True. And they know exactly who is going to be available.
And Iowa State's got a reputation, though.
Right.
I guess, but there are over 700 players, I think, who will transfer this year in Division I basketball. I don't know if I have that number quite right.
Yeah, it's right around there.
I think it is.
Yeah.
And so you're talking, that's over an average of two per program. So this is nothing scandalous or anything new. It's just the way business is done.
And until the rules change, which I think there more than one analyst and coach has asked for the rules to be looked at as far as these transfers are concerned, these senior transfers anyway. So I think that's probably going to happen.
Yeah, I'll share one text on the text line. Our conversation with Billy Sims, Greg from Cedar Rapids, said, I saw Billy Sims play. Three friends and I road trip down to Norman to watch Iowa play OU in that game. A group of Sooner fans in front of us kept yelling, bring it home, Billy, bring it home.
That was even before he had barbecue.
What year was that? That was 1979?
79, yeah.
So the guy who texted that to you is old.
Well, he's actually a former colleague of ours at the Gazette.
Oh, okay. Well, then that
explains everything.
Definitely is old.
Bring it home, Billy. Bring it home. Everybody was wanting to play Iowa back then. There was a line out the door. Mike, we will look forward to your columns coming up, one about Iowa baseball, and then Iowa State, the caravan coming tomorrow, and other things coming up this week. Have a great Memorial Day, Mike, and we'll talk to you soon.
Good. Thank you, guys.
You bet. Mike Halas joining us every other Monday during the summer right here on KGYM. We are going to step aside for a break, but when we go to break, we're going to give you an opportunity to pick up our prize of the day and of the week, and that includes two 18-hole rounds of golf and two sleeves of golf balls to the City of Cedar Rapids Golf Department courses. The four courses, Gardner, Twin Pines, Ellis, and Jones, which, of course, is open. Today would have been a great day. A little windy, but not too bad to get out on the links. We're going to take caller number six right now at 319-366-1600.
You must be able to pick them up at the studio here.
Correct.
Yep.
Yep, need to pick them up at the studio. 319-366-1600. Caller number six, you are going to pick up that prize. More to come after this.
Hi there. I'm here for your basement.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on short notice.
Yeah, what seems to be the problem?
It's my basement. It's bad.
Sure, let's take a look.
No, you don't understand. It's gotten a little out of hand. A pipe leaked in the ceiling and it never quit.
Well, let's assess the damage.
Okay.
Hi there.
Who's this?
I told you it was bad.
You two look like you could use ponchos.
The other day it was just a leak, and then this happened.
You know where the shutoff valve is?
Ah, feel that breeze.
I think it's over by that dinghy.
A plumber, are you? Say, I could use a guy like you. Have any experience on boats?
As a matter of fact, I do. My father was a lobster fisherman up in Nova Scotia for many years.
You don't say.
Yeah, I really only took this plumbing gig to earn a little extra scratch, but really...
Not again.
Home in need of repair? Don't drown in debt. Get a loan. Go to Paco. DePaco Community Credit Union. With low rates and local service, getting money has never been easier. Apply now at DePaco.com.
DePaco Community Credit Union. Equal opportunity lender.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Kids with diabetes face a more challenging path than their friends. Help find a cure to make their lives easier and join the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation's Cruising for a Cure June 3rd. There'll be a car show, pancake breakfast, silent auction, cakewalk, and more.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
It's even easier for neighbors to help neighbors these days. Fairfax State Savings Bank has been helping their neighbors get ahead for years. And with their new bank house in Amana, it's easier than ever to work with a bank that's wherever you need them to be. Both locations have the latest things like e-banking and mobile deposit, but what makes them really different is their ability to make it easy for you to get that loan. And that hasn't changed a bit. Visit thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, Bank House is a division of Fairfax State Savings Bank.
You know that old saying, time is money? Well, that couldn't be truer when it comes to real estate these days. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and how that affects how much you sell your home for. If you tried to sell it a while back and couldn't get your price, let Doug McAllister and Pinnacle give it another try. The time has never been better than right now to get your price. Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Time is wasting.
Your business's computing needs are a lot like a symphony orchestra. Each instrument on its own doesn't seem like much, but when the wireless isn't talking with a tablet, and that isn't in tune with the desktop, it's a mess. Network Computer Solutions is in the business of putting it all together in perfect harmony. Network Computer Solutions creates, fixes, and otherwise improves your company's networking computers, and that tunes up your profits. Call 247-7223. 247-7223. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Eastern Iowa sports is their domain. Back to the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
Congratulations going out to Chris from Cedar Rapids. He's going to go visit one of the four City of Cedar Rapids golf courses, Ellis, Gardner, Twin Pines, or Jones. For more information on our giveaway this week, go to KGYMradio.com. As you just heard, the Gym has partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization has a charity or a fundraising event coming up, we want to help get the word out. Submit your information 60 days or 30 days, whatever, prior to the event. If selected, your event will be featured on KGYM and on KGYMradio.com. Just click on Community MVP to get things started here.
Twins baseball and NBA action on our three frequencies tonight. Twins baseball on 107.5 FM, Golden State and San Antonio. By the way, that game joined in progress, the Twins game. And then the NBA game on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 1600 AM. Poll question today at KGYMradio.com. What was the most interesting sports story from last weekend? To be the Celtics winning without Isaiah Thomas, the Cubs' Raingate, Scott Dixon winning the poll at Indianapolis and then getting robbed, 13-1 Cloud Computing's win at Pimlico, or Jinder Mahal's win to capture the WWE Championship.
Right now, Dixon winning the poll is leading, and I didn't even vote.
And getting robbed.
And getting robbed, but he's okay. Emma's okay, too. And Dario's okay. And everybody that was in the car over there by the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. All right, Cal Eldred will join us coming up tomorrow. We'll talk all things baseball at that time with Cal. Some, of course, Major League Baseball. Also, we will talk some college baseball, previewing the Big Ten tournament coming up tomorrow with Cal. We will do that. Another chance for you to win with the City of Cedar Rapids Golf Department as well. So tune in tomorrow for the gym class here at KGY.
Good luck to all those baseball and softball teams getting underway this week. The Metro Baseball Tournament, Bob Verbacek Tournament, getting underway just about a half an hour.
I still remember playing in that and and having a conversation with Verby out at second base.
He was my ninth grade coach.
Yeah, great umpire, great guy. All right. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. Todd Rommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up next on KGYM.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
You have achieved total unity by comparing insurance rates with competitors and choosing the best rate for you. Now you are at one. Like a pro athlete playing yourself in a video game. They got your nose wrong.